Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name's Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 28th. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Time and we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 42, the third paragraph. Quite as important was the discovery. We'll be reading through one paragraph. I would not go back. It'll end right there. Today's readers are Joni C. on the 12 steps, Susan R. on the 12 reading our text for us. Elsie M. will be doing our closing, and Ken H. is waiting in the wings as backup, just in case. Our newcomer greeter today is going to be Anne Marie M., and our host of the second hour is Leah S., so stand by for that. Kathy S., is going to be on our announcements. So the reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, August 27th, for the 7 a.m. meeting, it's 21689 for the 7 a.m. yesterday, and the 10 a.m. will be 21690. And you can find info on our website, and we'll be announcing it midway, right after the 7 a.m. meeting, what you'd be using those numbers for. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Joni C. to kick us off with the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks so much, Joni C. We appreciate you and appreciate the service all through August. Susan R. will now step up and read our 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Susan R. in Rhode Island.
Recovering
from compulsive overeating. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve this month.
I'm sorry, moderator. I just got to say this. Could y'all just unmute? Could y'all mute? It ain't time to share yet. That's mad disrespectful.
All right. Thanks. I got it, Charles. Thanks. Okay. Susan R., thanks so much. And I wasn't sure if that was your background noise or not. But
no.
Yeah, if everybody can play. Okay. If everybody can place on mute, please, please do so. If not, our back office will grab it. So how our meeting works, our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you share your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we're going to resume our Big Book study, and we'll take that on page 42. We're on the third paragraph, and it starts with quite as important was the discovery, and it goes all the way through that paragraph to I would not go back to it even if I could. And I'd like to ask Penny C. Penny C., can you get us started with that?
Good morning. Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, this is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and, I hope, more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange its best moments for the worst I have now. I would not go back to it, even if I could. I just find that this is just such a beautiful paragraph talking about the spiritual answer. And that's just what the Big Book is all about. There's no question about any problem I have that I wouldn't find the answers in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'd like to just say that I know a person, if I call this person with any kind of problem, her first response after listening is, let's look for the spiritual solution. And after all, isn't that what we all who come to 12-step programs are taught, is the panacea for everything that might be disturbing us. So, yeah, I just think that's, we're so blessed that we have this spiritual book and we can find the answers. Many of us who have read and studied this book over and over again don't have to go look up the pages or the sentences. They come right to us. Maybe not the pages. I'm not one that remembers pages all that well, but I do remember the sentences and the thoughts that come through on these pages. And then the idea that I wouldn't exchange this life for anything at all, I often say that I don't even recognize the woman that came to OA, that first meeting. I don't even recognize anything about her anymore. It's somebody else I used to know, that my life is so different. I think differently. I act differently most of the time. But when I don't, I can get right back into those spiritual panaceas. I like that. I guess I like that word. But, we are just all so blessed to have this program that other people just may not have even heard of OA or of 12-step programs at all. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Penny C. We appreciate you opening us up and great share. So now we'll take 3-minute shares. We'll alternate. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And I'll go ahead and take a list of names and we'll get started. So who'd like to share on this paragraph? Okay, did not get any. Sorry, didn't get anybody. So I'm gonna get.
Nancy P.
Okay, I think I'm hearing Reva. I've got Nancy.
We
got plenty of time.
Roy,
so we'll, Russ, got you. Roy, got you.
Paul C.
Harlan G.
Paul, got you. Harlan, got you.
Vasa O.
Vasa.
Reva P.
Okay, Reva, awesome. Got you, and got you, Russ M. So let me tell you who I have, and then we'll see, and hopefully anybody else in that jumble will throw their name at me. If not, we'll have plenty of time. I've got Nancy P., Russ M., Roy C., I think it's C., Paul P., Harlan G., and Vasa. And Reva P., I'm sorry, Reva, I've got you on the end there. So, all right, Nancy, you're going to kick us off today.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. I love this paragraph because it basically moves beyond sobriety and abstinence. And, you know, I get a lot of phone calls and I make a lot of phone calls and I go to a lot of meetings and I sort of get around a little bit. And one thing that I'm struck by after many, many years, you know, over 50 in the program, is that at least in the Boston area, there's a wicked lot of abstinence around here. And the meetings can be very focused on putting the food down. But I can tell you from my own lived experience that had I known what was waiting for me after my food was down and settled and not an issue anymore, I wouldn't have wasted so much time jerking around with food. You know, I would say it's not quite as important for me. It's more important, this discovery that these principles would solve my problems. And, you know, in Bill's story, it says they answer my problems. And I kind of like that better because I like the answer, even when it's no, even when the answer is no, my problems seem to disappear. They diminish. And if I were to say solve, they get solved not in the ways that I would choose sometimes, often. You know, I'm fond of saying to people that nobody cares what I think and nobody does what I say. That is true. Yet, I could not be happier. Even though I couldn't be happier, I seem to get happier every day. My life gets bigger. I mean, you know, my food doesn't grow. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't get bigger. It's pretty much, you know, pretty boring, pretty much carved in stone at this point. But the rest of my life moves and grows and changes. And infinitely more satisfying, not just a wicked lot, not just a lot, infinitely. It goes on forever. My life continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, bubbling over, boiling with joy. And this, it's so satisfying because, you know, I skip through my life today, even when it's terrible. And I've had some pretty terrible things happen to me after I recovered. But if they had happened to me before I recovered, I would have committed suicide, seriously. And I had a pretty good, you know, I mean, I live in the same house. I live in a nice house in a nice town in a nice neighborhood. I got a nice husband, two nice kids, a nice car, a nice yard, nice friends. But somehow, after I recovered and after I surrendered and after I embraced, not just accepted, but embraced, you know, hold close, meaning to hold close these principles, it was like a whole new room opened up that was filled with joy and, you know, everything precious that I could ever possibly imagine and even things that I couldn't have imagined. So anybody who's still, like, thinking that the answer lies with weighing and measuring your food better, think again and join us all. The answer starts with one thing and one thing only. Surrender, surrender, surrender. With that, I'll pass.
Great. Thanks, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Russ M., go right ahead. You'll be followed by Roy. Roy C.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater. So, I'm not a big double sharer during the week or anything like that. This compelled me. My worst days today are better than my best days, you know? And as things are progressing with my family here, you know, like I said, I usually share on the book. I'm realizing, yeah, like Penny said, I look in that mirror, I'm a different person. I'm no longer that baby, although I do have times of immaturity, you know, just an emotionalism. And I'm thinking, like, how things are going to go with life and how I'm going to solve the problems that are probably going to be coming up. These challenges are coming up with my family. And as I was getting out of the shower, you know, God spoke to my heart and said, I got you out of there once. All you got to do is trust. And how did I do that? Through these 12 steps. This is all I could keep doing. My shares are redundancy. I know. I'm sorry. But I my heart, it just has to speak that I'm free because of these 12 steps and everything. Not just my addictive substances, but in the challenges and issues and joys and pains and sufferings and the exaltations of life. It's because of these 12 steps. And I can look and say, man, you're a different dude, man. You know, you're not where you were, and you're not where you should be, but you're not where you were. And it's only because of this beautiful program. And sometimes I get, you know, I get a little engatsada. It means I get hot, hot-headed. I'm about, you know, where's it in the book? Why are you doing it this way? You know, I have no room to speak. All I know is God put his hand out and drug me through this storm and got me healthy, a little bit holy, and the better person that I've ever been in my life to be able. And he knew these things were coming up. Because if I was in my food, even more in myself, I'd be serving nobody. I'd be dead. You might as well take me out back and get rid of me. So look, if you're struggling, just pray that God gives you a bottom to be able to accept this help, because you will get free. And if I can get free, anybody can. So thank you. Love you very much. You have a great day.
Well, thanks, Russ M. Roy C., you're up, and you'll be followed by Paul P. And if you, as folks share, just give us where you're from so people can find you on the members list. Roy, go right ahead.
Thank you, moderator. It's actually Troy C. from Florida, but I know there is a Roy C. from South Jersey who may be on the phone. So
I do it to you for every week, I think. Go ahead. Troy.
That's our tradition. That works for me. Yeah, Troy C. from Florida. I'm formerly from New Jersey, though, so maybe Roy and I were neighbors in a long, long ago. Anyway, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm incredibly grateful for this meeting and for this paragraph that I've read who knows how many times, but it's jumping out to me this morning. I had this really strange experience of getting to look. I went through, this was months ago at this point, but I had gone down a rabbit hole of my old Facebook Messenger messages going way, way back, long before I ever read this book. And I got to have a peek into what my life was like, what my best days and worst days were like before I found this book and this way of life. And it is not a life I ever want to live again, where I was completely just enshrouded, enveloped in self-centeredness and selfishness. And it's not that I can never be self-centered or selfish now. Those character defects are part of me, and I have to constantly identify them through inventory and pray to become willing to have them removed and ask God to remove them from me. But this was a time where I didn't even, that wasn't even an option, right? I didn't even know there was another way to live. I had to get what I wanted, or I wasn't going to be happy. And if you stepped on my toes, I had to retaliate. You know, I had to get you to act a certain way so that I could be happy. And that was my only credible theory of living. And what this book, you know, kind of brought to me was this concept, trust God, clean house, help others, that I'm going to be an agent of a higher power that's going to provide for me, provided I stay close to it and do its work well. And that's how I'm going to be that's how I'm going to get a reliable, sustainable source of happiness. My adherence to this way of life, the strength of my connection with my higher power, it varies constantly. But every time, you know, I get an email from my boss or a text message from a friend or frenemy or whatever, and my instincts are still not fantastic. I still often think this is a situation I've got to control. But I do now have what's gradually becoming a working part of the mind to ask my higher power for help and then use the tools that are laid out in the steps, inventory, seeing if I did harm to make amends, although I'm not there yet in the steps in this program. So I'm just really incredibly grateful that I was shown this way of life. And that's all I have to say. Thanks so much. Pass.
Yeah, thanks, Troy C. Perfect timing from Florida. Paul P. from Rhode Island, step right up, and you have the floor. Paul, star one. All right, I thought I heard Paul, but I will step.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
There you go. We can hear you. Okay, great, Paul.
I'm sorry about that. My phone didn't want to work. Okay.
You go right ahead. No worries.
Paul P. from Rhode Island. I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you for your service, my dear lady. I've been up and down with all sorts of pain ways and things like that. And my attitude way before was none. I didn't have one. I had no structure. But with this program, the spiritual aspect of it, the strength to carry on to do what I wanted to be a better person, to my goal is to share more on a vision for you and my other meetings that I go to. It's so wonderful to be able to talk to people about program and not be a clam. It's a wonderful thing, and I suggest to everybody new, stay with it. Please, it works. You have to make it work. It's a wonderful feeling to catch that spiritual strength from your higher power as you see him. And I thank you, and I'll pass.
Great to hear you, Paul. Thanks for your share. Just remind everybody where we are before you come on, Harlan. Page 42, the third paragraph, quite as important was the discovery. Ending with the end of that paragraph, I would not go back to it even if I could. Harlan, step right out.
Thanks, Barbara, for your service this morning. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And man, this is so tempting, this chapter. I wanted to talk about Percy Pollack from Bellevue coming up here in a couple of paragraphs, who changed the direction of the big book. I wanted to talk about his defense must come from a higher power at the end of the chapter. And just once more, you know, there's so much here. It's like a smorgasbord. But I couldn't resist this paragraph because when I came into this program 45 years ago, one of the things that I heard at every meeting that I went to, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. And it took me a number of years to figure out that that's not true. Now, abstinence is vital to my survival. Abstinence is absolutely as vital to me as the air I breathe. No question about that. But what I found out, and we're going to get to it, not this week, we're going to get to it in a couple of weeks. We're going to find out on page 45. It's going to say the main object of this book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem, singular. I came into this program, I was 30, 40 years younger than anybody in that room, and 300-400 pounds fatter than anybody in that room. My car had been repossessed twice. I was evicted from my apartment for non-payment of rent. I wasn't wearing underwear. I had towels shoved between layers of flab. I went on my first date with a girl. I was 35 years old. I was 335 pounds as a senior in high school. I was an object of ridicule. Children would laugh at me as I walked anywhere. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get in and out of a car. People would make fun of me. Doctors would scream and yell at me. And because of this program, not the fellowship alone, not abstinence alone, but because of a loving God, a higher power that I choose to call God, my life works today economically. I have a lovely, wonderful, beautiful lady in my life that I can't wait to go see on Thursday. I have a life that works. I have friends, I have a fellowship, I have meetings, I have a purpose, and a mighty rhythm underlay all. When I get up in the morning, I know what my job is, and my job is to serve God. My job is to be a messenger of this message of Overeaters Anonymous. And when I do that, when I serve God, everything else is first class. Anything I put before God, I lose. Anything I do to serve God, when I walk to him, he runs to me. And Barbara, thank you for your service. With that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Harlan G. Vasa O, you're up, and you'll be followed by Reva P.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Barbara, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I just love this paragraph. And I also have a life, spiritual life, I never imagined I would have today by coming in the program, working the steps, and finding a higher power that I thought it was just unreachable. I thought I need to read all, again, I'm not going to go back to the religion. I'm not going to the religion. But to find what I have found here, it's simple, but it's not that easy. This book became to me like a Bible, the big book. And I was introduced right from the beginning. And I'm just so grateful. And I've had so more things horrible happening to me before I came to recovery. I mean, yeah. No, after I came into recovery, I had a son that went through cancer. I almost went through the divorce myself after when I came in recovery. I had a granddaughter, had a heart surgery, two weeks old. We're not having a relationship with our daughter for almost 6 years. If I don't have this problem, I'd be in a mental institution today. I mean, it's hard even being abstinent going through all this, but I would be even dead, you know, today if I did not find a problem. For me, abstinence, it was like a miracle. God gave me something I couldn't achieve for 25 years, and I needed to surrender to a power greater than myself, which I call God. And that's how I became abstinent. And it's not that's the only way. I threw myself in the program. I came just for the vanity. And then I stayed for the sanity because my sponsor said, you know, Vasa, if you don't work the steps the way they laid out, you're going to go back into the food addiction. Trust me. I was afraid. I never want to go back to the food. If you gave me $10 million, if you gave me the world, because I would be dead today if I, sorry, my husband closed the door, I wouldn't even be here today. I came when I was 41 years old, and I didn't think I was going to make my 50th birthday the way I was into the food addiction. I had no clue. It was eating disorder. I had no clue any of this stuff, you know. The mental obsession, the allergy, none of it. I've learned it all here. So I am so grateful to all of you that have been teaching me over the years. And I want to give it away, too. Thanks.
Thanks, Vasa O. Reva P., you're up next. And after that, we'll be taking a new lineup. So stand by for that. Reva, right ahead.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, this line, discovering that spiritual principles will solve all, there are no exceptions, all my problems. When I first read that line and, you know, finding a power that will solve my problem, straighten out spiritually, and then I straighten out mentally, physically, I actually thought that if I put the food down, work the steps, things would just work out. There would be like this magic pixie dust, higher power, and life would just be like, you know, happy, skipping through. But it doesn't say that. It says, you know, the paragraph above, what I realized in terms of problem was not the external circumstances of my life. That's what I learned through the inventory process in abstinence. The problem was the way I was thinking, perceiving the events around me, and getting stuck in resentments and fears based on old conceptions and ideas that had to be thrown out the window. So, you know, there is a freedom getting to that place of neutrality with the food. But there is a whole other freedom, discovering that I can be at peace. And I've certainly had my challenges. and that I can be serene, irregardless of what goes on around me, circumstances, people's behavior. That is a whole different freedom. And on top of it, with that discovery, I can be useful, I can be satisfied and content. Like, that means I'm not dependent on food, I'm not dependent on people or circumstances, because my dependence is on this power who solves the problem, which was me. So would I go back to it? No, because then I'm living in constant fear or resentment or any other of, you know, my defects. So I am so grateful to be constantly reminded in this book and through my fellows that the answer is always going back to God, who answers all. You know, where am I agnostic? All. There are no exceptions. All my problems. But that I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Reva P. All right. So we are reading on page 42, third paragraph. Quite as important was the discovery, ending with, I would not go back to it even if I could. And I'll go ahead and take a list of names. And just a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you do limit your share to every third day. And go ahead. I'm ready to take names.
Anita.
Roz G.
Jen P.
Jersey.
Carol A.
Okay. You guys are killing me. So let me see. I think I heard Lisa B. Let me tell you who I think I heard. Lisa B., Roz G., Roy C. Who was in that first group? Let's go with that first. There was
Jen P.
Jen. I heard Jen C. I heard Amy. Give me one more.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl A. Oh, okay. All right. Let's see who we have.
My phone keeps muting myself, but I was like one of the first ones.
Me too.
Okay, so,
Anita.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to do, I'm going to ask everybody to be relatively short in your shares. We had a long list. We'll go ahead and, So, Hanietta, you go ahead, start us off. Anita, I'm going to have you follow. I'm going to ask everybody to be a little bit short. This is a popular paragraph, and we have our 8 o'clock hour, too. So, Hanietta, go ahead. Hanietta,
okay,
you're not unmuted. There you go.
Phone, and it keeps muting it back. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is Hanietta R. from Plano, Texas. That's where I'm from, Plano, Texas. Thank you for your service and for everybody's share before. I was going to time myself so that I don't go over. I would like to speak on the line that says, my old manner of life was by no means a bad one. Well, mine was a bad one. Before I came into program when I was 30 years old, I lived a terrible life. And especially my teenage years through my 20s, I just did everything I could to do things wrong, and especially compulsively eat. I ate 24/7. I was a binge grazer, you know. I would binge all the time, and I always wondered why I didn't weigh 500 pounds. And I finally realized when a doctor told me I have a fast metabolism. I don't anymore as an old person, but I did back then. And I was taking speed, and I was taking. Oh, it doesn't matter. So, but I would never, ever, ever want to go back there, ever, no matter what. Somebody could offer me a lot, but to go back there, I would never want to go back there. This life is the best life in the world. I am happy. I am free. I am free from the obsession. I'm neutral with food. It's just such a wonderful life. My life is a miracle. When I came into the program, I thought I was a raunchy, icky person, like the bugs under a rock. I just didn't think that God would want to help me to be sane, but He did. And for years I was sane, and I walked away a couple of times, but, you know, my heart never really left this program ever since, you know, I was 30. I'm now 73. I'll be 74 soon with God's help. And
time.
So that's my time, and I want to say if a miracle can find me, it can find you too. Please don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hanayeta R. Anita J., you're up. Anita, star one.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Anita J., I don't want to say recovered, out in Massachusetts. You know these spiritual principles? You've got to spend some time. You've got to spend some time with God. That's what I call my spiritual principles. Because what happened? I licked this tiny little cupcake, the candle on it. I was interested in the frosting, not the cake. And I licked it. Well, what would happen? That set it going, and I ate all the frosting off that cupcake. And it's with God's grace that that's what I did, that I ended it. There was another one, too, but I didn't touch it, and I gave it away. And I have spent more time, I was spending more time listening to the news and watching the news and all the politics than I was with my higher power. You've got to spend time. I just want to tell everybody, is after 10 and a half years, what happened? The same thing that would have happened, but if I'd only had one day of abstinence and did that. So that's all I want to say, folks. And I'll tell you, I've spent more time now with that higher power that loves me so much. And look at what I did. But he's told me, don't get mad at yourself, Anita. Get busy. Get busy here, and I am. So with that, I pass.
Great. Thanks, Anita J. So we're going to take, I'm going back to the beginning of our lineup. Lisa B., I think I heard, followed by Roz G. Was there a Lisa B.? Let's give you a sec, and Roz, get ready. All right, Roz, you step right up, and then Roy C., you'll be following. Roy or Troy, but from Jersey, I gotcha. You're our other one. Good Lord. Okay, Roz G., you're up.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you for hearing me. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Tomorrow, I turn 61 years old. The first year of my turning 60 was very traumatic for me. I couldn't handle it. I thought I was going to get old and die and never do the things that I really wanted to do. And I know now that there's a lot of things that I wanted to do that I could not do because I needed 20 years of recovery. I've been in OA over 20 years, and I've slipped and I've made mistakes, but I've had so many spiritual awakenings, and I had so much pride and so much ego. I raised my kids all by myself. I was in an alcoholic marriage. I went to school. I wanted things that I didn't want to work for them. I wanted to have leadership positions, but I didn't want to work for it. I wanted to have a mate, but I didn't want to find the character, get rid of the character defect so that I could be in a relationship. I wanted to wear beautiful clothes and look great, but I didn't want to work for it. But that is like the least of importance. Tomorrow, like today, I just applied for a leadership job at my school, where I actually qualify for it, and three people, well, a lot more, but three people said, I will be happy to write you a letter of recommendation. You will be perfect for that. I'm going on a date today, after school. It's just, you know, I'm not going on a phony Friday night romantic crap. I'm going out to meet somebody after school when it's not romantic. It's just to meet somebody so they can see who I really am, not all dressed up and pretty and full of bullshit. And on Friday night, I'm having a little birthday celebration at my dance studio, where we're going to dress up with 1970s clothes because I'm from the 1970s. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm 30 years old or 20. I'm 60. But people love me anyway. It's not saying to brag things. I'm just saying that I'm better off where I am at 60 than I was at 30 because I'm not pretending and wearing masks anymore.
Hi.
I am what I am. Thank you. Sorry, I'm on a soapbox. I pass.
Thanks, Roz G. We appreciate you. Roy C. from Jersey, come on up. And you'll be followed by Jen C., I believe.
This is Roy C. from South Jersey. Staying hello and claiming my seat and practicing the principles. And I thank you all for being here. And I appreciate this. I wouldn't go back, and I'm glad to be here today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Roy. You got that seat. Jen C., you are up, and you're followed by Amy G.
Hey, Barbara, was it Jen P., maybe?
Absolutely. I'm okay. Sure it was.
Okay. You're doing a great job. This is Jen P., compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and grateful to be here. And I just will be very brief to say that what sticks out for me in this paragraph is the part that says, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And I want to just say thank you to the people in my life in the 27 years that I've been in this program who have brought me to this, and brought me to this in ways that have not always been easy. And the person who tells me, you know, to be honest with myself, the person who reminds me that that's hard, to the sponsor who reminds me, you know, to keep going, to not negotiate, to the phone calls and the people who are recovered who continue to say surrender, 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 and the same messages that you know, I need to continue to hear. And I'm just so grateful for the people who pick up the phone, the recovered fellows who lead by example and who say, you know, if you want what she has, you have to do what she does. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm most of all grateful that even though all of the ups and downs I've had over all of these years, I would not trade it for anything, because this program is so beautiful and it has changed my life in incredible ways. And I'm just so grateful for all of you who keep on talking to me no matter what. So thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jen P. from Jersey. And we are back on time, so everybody's fine. You don't need to rush yourself too much. We are reading page 42, third paragraph. Quite as important was the discovery, in just that one paragraph. So Amy D., you're up, and you're going to be followed by Cheryl A.
Thanks so much. Wow, what a great meeting. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. I feel like it's a gratitude day because it's just so much awesome shares about what this wonderful program has done. And for me as well, this whole idea is quite as important as the discovery. I mean, there have been so many discoveries in my life through this program. I mean, I didn't even know, what's that saying? You don't know what you don't know. Like, I didn't even know there was another way of life that would be infinitely more satisfying, right? If you had asked me prior to program what would have been a fulfilling life, I would have said the three P's, popularity, power, and prestige. And, oh, yeah, be nice every once in a while, right? Control the world. You know, get what you want. Write the script. You know, all it takes is a little willpower. It was a completely self-centered and self-absorbed way to live life. I didn't know any different. Not necessarily my fault per se, but I bought the myth the world sells you. You know what I mean? Grab the world by the balls, thin as well. I had all sorts of old conceptions like we talked about in the prior paragraph. I mean, I love Bill's quote in his story, page 2. It says, out of the alloy of drink and speculation, I commenced to forge a weapon that would one day turn in its flight like a boomerang and all but cut me to ribbons. That's what my way of life was doing for me, right? So I didn't know what I didn't know. And then I come to Overeaters Anonymous, desperate, surrendered, ready to cooperate, be accountable, tell me how to do it. And what I realize once the food is down, and I love what was said about abstinence, it is essential, it is a prerequisite, it is vital, but that is only the beginning. I don't eat my way through the steps and find myself recovered at the end of 12, like, oh, happy life, right? No, I put the food down first. I'm willing to do the work. I have to be absolutely ready to take the action, to not think and do. And then I discover that there is another way to live life that is incredible, that is fulfilling. Call it the fourth dimension. Like, wow, I didn't know it was out there. I didn't know that being useful was actually something that I would want to do. I didn't know that serving my higher power, God, would be a way that I'd want to live my life, that I didn't have to control life, that I could give it to God. And I could let God run the show, and I could just try to do his will for my life every day. And it is amazing, as others had said, so many discoveries, so much fulfillment. And when life hits hard, what I'm so grateful for now is that I have a fellowship, I have tools, I have steps, I have a whole new plethora of ways to deal with life as opposed to just picking up my substance. How is that even possible? It is by the grace of God and this program. Yeah, I wouldn't go back. And here's the thing, people, they probably will come up with a pill that will strike you abstinent, so to speak, but I'll still have that spiritual malady. I'll still have that hole in the soul. And thank God I know that now. I've been restored to sanity, and I know the way of life that I would like to live. So if you're new, as others said, come on, it's a wild ride, and we want you here. And with that, I'll share. I'm sorry, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Amy G. And Cheryl A., you're up, and you will close us out. Thanks, Cheryl.
Hi, everyone. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, currently walking down a country road in Gananoque, Canada, with my dog. And, you know, all my life, really, from the earliest ages that I can remember, I yearned for something. I yearned for something I didn't have a name for, but I knew something was missing inside of me. And I yearned and I yearned and I yearned and I didn't know what was wrong. And then I found food and I ate and I ate and I ate. And it never filled up that yearning. It never filled up that thing that just didn't feel quite right. But I just kept eating to try to solve that problem. And then it only made me want, it made me feel more and more empty. And this, thinking about that throughout my life and thinking about, I'll never forget when I was in college and I took existentialism philosophy classes, trying to figure out what am I missing? And I remember learning one philosopher that said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And I thought, okay, I'm going to examine my life. And then examination didn't do it. And as I'm walking today, I'm thinking about the letter that Carl Jung wrote to Bill Wilson in 1961 when he went deeper to try to explain something that he never felt comfortable fully with Roland Hazard about. Bill Wilson had written to let him know what had happened to Roland. And at the end of the letter, Carl Jung says to Bill Wilson, you see, alcohol in Latin is spiritus. And you use the same word for the highest religious experience as well as for the most depraving poison. And then he talked about how alcoholics, he believed that they were yearning for something deeper and spiritual. And that word spiritus in Latin can be used for two things, alcohol and the highest religious experience. I think us addicts are yearning for the highest spiritual, deepest experience. I know for myself today that what I yearned for all those years was a connection with a power greater than myself that I define within me. But that, when I go to it, every single time, no matter what the issue from the most basic to the most basic, I can find
something that quenches that thirst for that thing I could never explain. And it is about developing a spiritual life and living the spiritual principles. I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, thanks, Cheryl A. So appreciate everyone who has shared today. Wow, such a rich meeting. 16 shares, including our opening. Oof. Okay, please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study. More shares to come following our closing. Let me get our share ID for today. That is 21692, and that's for the meeting that we just heard. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we're going to have Elsie M. read our closing for us. She'll read A Vision for You, and it's page 164. Beginning with, our book is meant to be suggestive only, through keep you until then. Elsie?
Good morning. I'm Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in